Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Joe Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, come on, it's a great song. Welcome in. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. We'll be talking with Buffalo Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski in just a few seconds as we get things started here on News Radio 930 WBEN. One of the things we're going to talk to him about in just a few seconds is the news that we got, that we received. I'm sorry. Proper English, Joe. We received that the city of Buffalo receives a second bond rating downgrade. S&P Global revives city of Buffalo's outlook to negative, affirms A+ general obligation bond rating. We'll get into that. And also Heritage Point and the progress expected at Heritage Point obviously has been a ongoing topic. And to talk about it is Buffalo Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Want to get started. You know, there's a few things going on, and we want to get talking about Heritage Point. But, Mitch, we just got this into the newsroom talking about the bond rating downgrade by S&P Global in the Common Council. How are you guys looking at this?
So that's, I'm glad that you are covering this. So the rating actually didn't change. We stay an A plus in rating. It's just they changed the outlook to negative from stable. But to be honest, most council members, what they point to where it shows negative from stable, it should have been negative for a few fiscal cycles. They cite one-time revenues as not a way to plug budget gaps, and that's no revelation to myself or anybody else. But in perpetuity, that the rating didn't change, just the outlook. So I don't want the city comptroller to use that as a venue to show some face that what we're doing when it comes to the bond sales in the litigation that's before the court.
Yeah, and let's start with that before we get to Heritage Point. Mitch, you and Mayor Scanlon are bringing litigation to force the city comptroller to borrow. So for people like me who don't understand that, what exactly is the push here and what are you trying to accomplish?
Yes. So I am the finance chair of the Buffalo Common Council, and I am a plaintiff in this suit with Acting Mayor Chris Scanlon, because what the comptroller is doing is outside of the charter responsibilities. So she's interfering with the authority of the Buffalo Common Council, and I can't stand for that. And so the council last December passed a $110 million capital budget, which we are charter mandated to pass one by December. So here's $55 million of that is for the Buffalo Public Schools. So if you live in the suburbs, you have to go vote on your budget and vote on your capital purchases, either your school board or you do, at the ballot box. Here in the city of Buffalo, we don't do that. The city collects roughly over $140 million in taxes from residents. We split that in half, and we give the half to the Buffalo Public Schools. So the only entity right now that can bond for the Buffalo Public Schools is the city of Buffalo. And so that $55 million that we bonded for is reimbursable. 93% of it is reimbursable by the state of New York, and the remaining percent they have the cash on hand to pay for. So that doesn't come at any expense or negative impacts to the city of Buffalo. And then the other section are bans. And the bans that are being taken out or we wish to take out are state and federal reimbursable for infrastructure like Main Street, Jefferson, and those infrastructure projects that need to get going. So in reality, this comes to no negative impacts to taxpayers. The comptroller is not going to the market, and that is not her chartered mandated authority to do that. There's one word that says in the section of the city charter, and that's superintend. Superintend is a verb, and it means to manage and oversee. By no means is that a vehicle to stop $110 million going to the bond market and then usurping the authority of the executive branch and the common council, which passed and made a determination on the capital budget. And so when you're looking at a capital budget and you're thinking, well, what's in it? Not only is it lights, sidewalks, infrastructure, it's fire apparatuses, it's police equipment, it's for, our parks, our community centers, needs and infrastructure needs that people want to see in their community every single day. And now, unfortunately, we missed a whole construction season. When these projects get rebidded out, they're going to be more expensive. The cost of litigation to do this is ridiculous. And ultimately, it's going to be at the backs of the Buffalo residents and taxpayers.
Do you know when a decision will come down on this, how long this litigation will take?
I believe this will be heard in 2 weeks, and then hopefully we are granted relief and a decision quickly, because now we're going into another capital budget season in December. So we could potentially have two capital budgets that the comptroller will be compelled to go to the market for, which is going to bond out more in one cycle, and then we're going to see a balloon payment in future out years. So this is this is ridiculous and more than unfortunate that we have to do this, to work together in City Hall and to know, you know, who's chartered mandated authorities and where they exist when majority of City Hall we already know, but the comptroller will not yield on her stance.
Who selects the city comptroller? Is that a position that the mayor can remove? How does that work in the city?
It is up when the council member's up, but it's a citywide elected position, and it's an important position to have. But it's an important position that you need to know what your authority is, and that's to advise, that's to conduct audits, and that's to provide advice. But by no means is that a role where you can stop a legislative body from disposing of a budget. The Common Council is the appropriating and disposing body of funds here in the city of Buffalo. And we're legislators. There's 9 of us that come together to state and put in our district's priorities in those capital projects every single year. And, you know, we don't have a system where the comptroller can then dictate what the priorities are in the capital budget when it comes to council members. It's a complete overstep.
All right, Mitch, now on to Heritage Point, something you and I have been talking about for a while now. There is optimism that it will resume within a few weeks. What are you hearing? What do you know? And how do you feel this time around?
So before the council went on recess in August, we did have a representative from Sinatra's who did brief the council that said that they were close to closing on funding and closing out that funding, that they would then immediately and imminently get back to an open construction site and complete the project in 16 months. So at the fourth quarter of 2026, we would see that project built. I have got reassurances from the state and then Sinatra and company that within the coming weeks, that will be an active site, which is important not only in the large scale of things of development, because we need that mixed use development and commercial and residential living on our waterfront and canal side. But ultimately, I need to know, you know, when it becomes an active site, because I have Exploramore, I have Marine Drive, I have the Naval Park. I have a lot of things going on down there. So a construction site will reroute traffic and have some growing pains. But if we're going to be a competitive and world-class city, we have to have a strong waterfront and vibrant downtown. And Heritage Point will be a large project that we need to get done. It's been vexing. It's been like, you know, 7-8 years that not only have people been talking about it, but trying to get this up and going. And ultimately, we're in a position where we need to get it done. So I am staying optimistic with what I've been told and what I've been shown. But seeing is believing. So when I see equipment down there, I'll start believing it.
In the Cleveland Buffalo News yesterday, the county executive was quoted a few times talking about how, you know, he'll believe it when he sees it, kind of throwing a lot of blame at Sinatra. Do you think comments like that are productive?
I mean, the fact is that we have to get it done because, you know, what would the alternative be? We can't give a new developer a half built site. So I'm just, you know, the county executive is free to give his thoughts. I think it was more to the general malaise of development in the city of Buffalo and that the impact. And he does point to some larger pointing issues with development. But as a district councilman, my purview is just to get this done for my district, because ultimately, you know, the residents and the visitors of my district will be, you know, severely impacted.
Mitch, you know me, when we talk about downtown, that's my focus. I want to see downtown, you know, I felt like downtown was on a very positive upward trajectory right up into the pandemic, and it has really been struggling. And this is something I have brought up to you, I think, every time we talk. Main Place Mall is sitting there empty. You know, when you talk about developers, you talk about the lack of developing. What's it going to take to get that part of Main Street to maybe see some life again? I mean, it seems like every time we hear something from downtown, it's negative. It's another business leaving that, you know, I mean, I guess I'm just far removed from going out that I thought was pretty popular and pretty busy. What's it going to take to get, you know, Main Street Buffalo to start moving again?
So my thought is that since COVID, we lost about over 30,000 office workers that were coming in and commuting to the city, that were buying lunch, buying coffee, staying, shopping, consuming, working, providing critical density. That is gone. And I'm not one of those people that want to blame everything on the pandemic. But one thing that we know that the pandemic did was it changed our social norms and how we consume. So when we, you know, people aren't going out as much, there's not a critical mass of density coming down here. And so there's two pieces that I think that really need to happen in downtown Buffalo for it to really start moving again and see as more of a significant footprint in impactful ways. Is I believe a supply in residents will lead to a demand in amenities. If you're going to bring businesses down here who are taking out commercial loans, who are putting up their own money to provide, you know, restaurants and concert venues and amenities, they need to protect their investment by having, you know, a solid supply of critical mass of people who will consume. But then we also need that transactional density of people coming down here for festivals, events, concerts, venues, for people to come in and enjoy our urban area and our city. And Joe, I really want to hammer the point home, because I was a part of when I first joined the council, there were members and people that try to say, well, it's downtown versus everybody. If downtown gets anything, that means you suffer in neighborhoods. And that's false. And I have to reject that. You know, when we are a strong urban core, think about it, 33% of the tax parcels that are in downtown Buffalo pay for the entire revenue to generate services for the entire city. Think about what the taxes are on the Liberty Building and these large scale buildings. They're paying and shouldering a lot of the commercial and tax down here. And when you also think about sales tax revenue, the highest times we were seeing sales tax were at the pandemic in March, when a lot of people were saying, hey, we need to support local businesses. So if we have strong urban economics where we're deriving people to come to our urban core and to enjoy our city, that then turns into revenue to the city so that we can start investing more in our infrastructure and plowing streets and districts all throughout the city of Buffalo. So we really need that as a key piece to move the city forward.
Do you think bringing back events like Thursday in the Square would be possible?
I think so. I was talking with folks yesterday who want to be creative. There's a whole group of folks that are part of Downtown 2030, and there's a lot of people that are trying to put their shoulder into how to bring back large-scale events. I mean, Beamer, I walked in a fashion show on Saturday in Fountain Plaza. If I got to do that to help support festivals, and honestly, most people weren't even thinking about that festival, but when I was there, it brought easily over 1,000 people that I think that would have never came to downtown Buffalo, and it was a really successful event. So people who want to event organize and bring culture and artistic ability and cuisine and their culture to our urban core to have great concerts and venues, that's what's going to spur a lot of development and creativity and positivity down here in the urban core.
Well, you know, that, as we've talked about, that is one thing I believe we can get back there. I think a vibrant downtown means success for the rest of Buffalo and for the rest of Western New York. It's the hub that can kick off the renaissance throughout Erie County. Mitch, one other thing we want to talk about is this is according to Spectrum, the high euthanasia rates at the City of Buffalo Animal Shelter. The animal shelter back in the news again. What can you say about it?
So, you know, I was brought those that data that was foiled by Spectrum News that a reporter had brought to me, and folks that know me have known that I'm the council member that's trying to get, from at least my side, a new animal shelter for the City of Buffalo, because not only is it the correct things to do, we have to take care of all of God's creatures. It's within our charter that we have to provide an animal shelter for a service to the City of Buffalo. I did see those numbers that showed, I think it was about 62% of pit bulls that are brought to the shelter are being euthanized. And then when they showed me the data where 5 to 8 animals were euthanized almost within a couple minutes of each other, it just goes to everybody's worst fear of, are you euthanizing animals because there's an overcrowding? I'm not throwing out any accusation. I'm just saying I was brought that data to me, and that was disturbing. But that means that's just more work we need to do to provide a good shelter to protect all of God's creatures and our animals.
Mitch, my final question for you, and I ask you this because I feel like I can. I feel our friendship is good enough that I can ask you this. I wouldn't ask most Democrats this question, but State Senator Sean Ryan, he is the Democrat nominee. He has not posted on social media in over a month. He has not talked to 247. I'm not sure. Maybe he's talked to the Buffalo News. He obviously hasn't talked to us. Do you think he's campaigning the right way as the Democrat nominee going into November? Or would you like to hear more of him talking to constituents and, you know, doing more than giving press releases to the media?
That's a good question. And I can confirm he is doing well. I had breakfast with him this morning to go over a lot of priorities in the City of Buffalo. And every campaign has their own techniques. You know, God forbid someone would criticize mine. I know that, you know, the legislative session has wrapped up. I know he's doing a lot of work with connecting with people. But every campaign has their strategy. I'm sure there's usually a time in the political in calendar where campaigns rev up. So I know that also engagement in the way people campaign is different nowadays with text messages but I do know he's working hard and getting out there and talking to folks.
Well, Mitch, I know that you always put a good word in for me, so I appreciate you.
I do.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.